Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to share communion together during this message, and I just encourage you, if you would like to hit pause and get some bread and juice and bring it back, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. Want to read to you today from Acts chapter 2. So glad you've joined us. So excited about what the Lord's going to do in this time. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, I want to read to you about the early church. We just wrapped up a series on the church and the disciple and how important the church is to God and what the church is to be. And so I want to read to you about the early church getting started in preparation for our time of Holy Communion. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and following. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I love that, how they met in homes and enjoyed the Lord's Supper. And today in your home, just know that God is with you as you enjoy worshiping Him with the bread and the cup. And so there are five things about every healthy church, five things that every healthy church will do. One that we find in this passage that I read you from Acts chapter 2. Number one, every healthy church will worship. Every healthy church will fellowship. Every healthy church will have biblical instruction. Every healthy church will be engaged in ministry or what we call service. And every healthy church will be engaged in evangelism, sharing our faith, reaching out to others, being outward focused. And the encouragement in being a healthy church is this: don't be a niche church where you just do one of those five things. We need to be active in all of those things, and every church will feel more comfortable or be more gifted in one area or another. But to be a healthy church, we need to engage in all five of those things that are mentioned here in the book of Acts in chapter 2. You know, it was Mother Teresa who said, "Jesus made himself the bread of life to give us life. Night and day, he's there. If you really want to grow in love, come back to the Eucharist. Come back to that adoration." And so we're going to adore the Lord today. We're just going to adore him and worship him as we take the bread and the cup. You know, in preparation for that time of worship, I want to remind you of the Passover, the Feast of Passover. It was the first of the three great feasts of Israel. When the people were slaves in Egypt, the lamb was sacrificed, and they smeared its blood on the doorpost as a signal to God to pass over their homes when the angel of death moved through the land and killed the firstborn males of Egypt, children of Egypt. It was observed on the 14th day of the first month in the evening. And so God protected the people of Israel from that angel of death that was passing through the land by telling them to kill a sacrificial lamb and put the blood on their doorpost. And that evening, the reason they did this celebration each year in the evening was that they left Egypt that evening. At the original Passover, they left in haste as the bread was yet unleavened, because they had no time to leaven their bread as they ate their last meal in Egypt. And we're going to have a holy meal here today with bread and juice, just remembering the sacrificial lamb that is Jesus. It was John the Baptist who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus has taken away our sin. It's his blood that's covered us so that we'll be protected from death, so that we can live forever, so that we'll be protected from every scheme of the evil one. And I want to read to you today from Deuteronomy that tells us a little bit about that bread that Jesus thought about whenever he shared the Passover with his disciples. So Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 through 8, says this: "In honor of the Lord your God," now remember, this is Moses under the inspiration recording recording the word of God, which we would call the Torah or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and specifically in verse 16, "In honor of the Lord your God, celebrate the Passover each year in the early spring in the month of Abib. For that was the month in which the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Your Passover sacrifice may be from either the flock of the herd, and it must be sacrificed to the Lord your God at the designated place of worship, the place he chooses for his name to be honored. Eat it with bread made without yeast for 7 days. The bread you eat must be made without yeast, and when you escaped from Egypt in such a hurry. Eat this bread, the bread of suffering, so that as long as you live, you'll remember the day you departed from Egypt. Let no yeast be found in any house throughout your land for those 7 days. And when you sacrifice the Passover lamb on the evening of the first day, do not let any of the meat remain until the next morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover in just any of those towns that the Lord your God, you may not sacrifice the Passover in just any of the towns that the Lord your God is giving you. You must offer it only at the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Sacrifice it there in the evening as the sun goes down on the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt. Roast the lamb and eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses. Then you may go back to your tents the next morning. For the next 6 days, you may not eat any bread made with yeast. On the seventh day, proclaim another holy day in honor of the Lord your God, and no work may be done on that day." And so Moses is giving direction. This is how you worship. This is how you remember what God did on Passover, how he protected us. And it's all centered around what this passage calls the bread of suffering. The bread of suffering. And we know Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Remember me, this bread is my body broken for you." That bread of suffering, Jesus suffered for us. The great Passover that Jesus orchestrated on the cross for us. And again, in Psalms 116, the cup is mentioned in the Old Testament. Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. "What can I offer the Lord?" Here's the psalmist saying, how can I worship God? What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? In verse 13, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me." I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will remember what God has done. I will praise him. I will hold up the cup of salvation. You know, I will remember what God has done, how he saved me, how he delivered me. You know, how he delivered me through Passover, how he delivered me through the blood of the Lamb, how Jesus has delivered me. What can I do to praise him? I can thank him. I can worship him. Eucharist means the cup of thanksgiving. And what better place than to worship God and to thank him as we break the bread and remember his suffering. You know, the bread of suffering and the cup of salvation as we remember what the Lord has done, and we can give thanks. And the bread is revelation. God loves me this much to be broken for me. And the cup is response. I'll hold up the cup of salvation and thank him and worship him from my heart. Worship him from deep within my heart. And so A.W. Tozer, he says this. He says that the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. And I want us to just, in preparation for taking communion, you know, the Word tells us to prepare our hearts, to prepare ourselves. And I just want to encourage you, maybe now would be a time of repentance, that you've entertained thoughts about God that aren't true, that aren't thoughts that are good towards the Lord. Remember A.W. Tozer, the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. God is good. And if you've been tempted to think otherwise, now's a great time to just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of those sins. I repent of thoughts that are unworthy of You. And Lord, I know that You're good. Please forgive me. Prepare my heart for communion. You know, I think the response of some believers, which I believe is immature, and the response of some in this time is to question God and to say, where is God in all this? And to say, almost in a pouting way, well, I'm not really going to worship God right now because I don't agree with any of this. And we have to remember, none of this is God's plan. This is the evil one's plan. The evil one, Jesus said, came to kill, steal, and destroy. God came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So God is not the author of any of this evil. You know, God is good. And so pouting and having that attitude is not the right response. Oswald Chambers said this. We've been speaking of Moses, but Oswald Chambers says this of Moses. Patience is not the same as indifference. Patience conveys the idea of someone who is tremendously strong and able to withstand all assaults. Having the vision of God is the source of patience because it gives us God's true and proper inspiration. Moses endured not because of his devotion to his principles of what was right, nor because of his sense of duty to God, but because he had a vision of God. And now he quotes Hebrews 11:27. He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:27. A person who has the vision of God is not devoted to a cause or to any particular issue. He is devoted to God Himself. And so Oswald Chambers tells us what patience is all about. And he tells us how Moses stayed the course, because he had a vision of God, not because he was indifferent, but because he was very strong, because he had a vision of the living God. And we all need a vision of the living God to keep us strong, to keep us patient, to help us endure and to stand strong. And so I love this thought of worship. I'm going to respond to the bread of suffering by holding up the cup of salvation and worshiping God and thanking God and remembering Him and remembering all that Jesus has done for us on that cross on Calvary's Hill. I think about worship. I can't help but think of John chapter 4 when we're called to worship God in spirit and in truth. And this is the way the Message translation puts John 4, verses 23 through 24. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father's out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. And there John is speaking of adoration. We started off with Mother Teresa talking about adoration. I can't help but think that adoration has its place at the holy table of communion, where we take this bread and this cup. We need to come to this bread and cup with adoration, thanking God. You know, the right response is not to question God or even to practice idolatry where we have thoughts that are not proper towards God, but the right response is worship and thanksgiving, and realizing that we deserve nothing. You know, that we're unworthy, that Jesus died in our place upon that cross to save us from hell and from judgment. And so we're not deserving of anything. God has lavished upon us incredible gifts, invitation to become his family. To all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Have you received him? Have you become a Christian? The way you become a child of God and enter the family of God is by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I admit my guilt. I admit my sin. And I need your help. And would you please forgive me? Would you please send your Spirit? Wash away my sins. And Holy Spirit, would you come into my life and fill me? And Lord Jesus, I want to follow you with the rest of my life. That's the prayer of salvation. That's how you enter into the family of God. And the right response is that God has shown us grace. He's given us what we don't deserve. And so I'm going to hold up the cup of salvation and I'm going to thank him for the incredible grace that he has offered me, this incredible grace that he has given me. I don't deserve any of it. But because Jesus loves me, and because the Father loves me, and because the Spirit loves me, because the Trinity, the God, our awesome God cares about me, he has made a way for salvation. And so Jesus, he died upon that cross. His body was broken. And he gave his all for us. What more could he give? And so here at the communion table, we celebrate him. We remember him. We worship him with adoration. He is worthy. He's so good. And he's so holy. And so as we go, prepare ourselves for communion, I'd invite you to turn with me to Matthew 26, if you have your Bible. Matthew 26, verses 17 through 30. And before we share this time of communion, I want to remind you that God's presence is there with you. I want to read to you this quote from John Fox, a powerful figure from church history. And George Fox says this, "Meet together in the name of Jesus. He is your prophet, your shepherd, your bishop, your priest, in the midst of you, to open to you and to sanctify you, and to feed you with life, and to quicken you with life." And Jesus is there. He's your bishop. He's your prophet. He's your shepherd. And he's there in your midst, and he wants to offer you his bread and his cup today. And so, in preparation for that time, Matthew 26, verses 17 through 30, the Last Supper, Jesus celebrating Passover with his disciples 2,000 years ago, and he's going to do it again here with you today in your home. Verse 17, "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?'" And remember back in Deuteronomy, eat it where God shows. Eat it where God designed, where God shows you to eat it. "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" Jesus said, "As you go into the city, you will see a certain man. Tell him the teacher says, 'My time has come, and I'll eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. And when it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" He replied, "One of you has just eaten from this bowl. One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." grapes, that bread of suffering. Take this and eat it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it. For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And so Jesus invites us to his table today. All that we have is from him. All that we've been given is from him. He's the author of life. All that was made through him, Colossians tells us. And so, if you would, take the bread, hold it in your hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this precious bread that's a reminder of how your body was broken and how you suffered. It's the bread of suffering. And we thank you, Jesus, for the nails that you took for us in your hands, feet, for the thorns that you wore upon your head, the beating that you took, Lord, the being whipped and your back torn for us, Lord. We worship you, we adore you today, and we thank you for this bread that made a way, the lamb who was sacrificed, that made a way for us to experience life. And so we take this bread and worship, and we remember you. And if you would, take the cup in your hand. And Lord, we remember this blood that was shed. This juice that signifies your blood that was shed to set us free, to give us life, to ransom our souls unto God, to redeem us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this cup. We know it's the Eucharist, the cup of thanksgiving, and it's the cup of salvation. And so, we bring to you our praise today, God. We bring to you our thanksgiving. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your precious blood given for us. And we take this cup today in remembrance of your sacrifice for us, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray for each of us that we would be drawn deeper into worship, to true worship. I pray for each of us that we would experience your presence even now. Pray for healing to come in every heart, in every life, in every body. It's by your stripes we're healed. And so, Lord, we thank you today here in our homes. We thank you. We worship you. We give you our lives afresh. There's none like you, God. God, I pray for revival in every person's watching, in every life, in the name of Jesus. And it says that Jesus and his disciples, they went out and sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And if you would, sing this song with me. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. God is with you. He loves you. He's for you. take a moment and worship him, maybe in song, maybe in prayer. Maybe it's just taking a few moments to thank him for the good things in your life. But he is with you and he loves you. His heart is for you and he sees you. He's there. Spend some time with him today. He is for you. God bless you. Thank you for letting us be a part of your worship today. God is so good, and we're so thankful for you. God bless you.